You're listening to the show Cool Kids here on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Elise Roy, and on this show, I interview the cool kids. These are authors, experts, and anyone who really has a passion that sets them apart. We're broadcasting to you from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people on the University of British Columbia. All right, so today on the show, we have Georgia Wallace. Say hi to our listeners.
Hello. Hi.
So Georgia is a very longtime friend of mine. We met in first year, and she's also an incredible writer and poet. She is the author of a book called Sour with Change, which just hit its 1 year anniversary. What was the date that you published it again?
I published it on August 11th, 2023.
Okay. Yeah. So it's been a while. It's been a while.
It's been, some time's passed. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that you started writing these poems in grade 12-ish time.
Yeah, the bulk of the poems I wrote were over my grade 12 year. Yeah.
Can you kind of talk to me about the main themes in this book and what it means to you?
Yes, yeah, of course. So, definitely grade 12, I was going through a lot of just feeling the anticipation and grieving kind of the loss of a lot of friendships that I would be losing and all the new changes that would be happening in my life. So kind of as the title suggests, I was not very happy about the change that was coming into my life. And so that's one of the main, kind of the bigger general themes of the book. But then I have many little themes. I wrote a lot of poems about unrequited love that was a decade spanning time, and that was a big inspiration for a lot of the poems. And then also just saying goodbye, I feel like that was another big
And after reading your book Sour with Change, I know you really well as a friend, but I feel like reading your poetry just gives me a new and deeper understanding of you as a person. Aww. As well, which is really sweet.
Royal Otis, live in concert, coming to the PNE Forum in Vancouver on October 22nd. Fresh off the heels of their debut album, Prats in Pain, and the viral cover of Murder on the Dance Floor for Triple J's Like a Virgin, don't miss the Australian duo on their biggest tour yet, Royal Otis, Glory to Glory Fall Tour. Tickets are on sale now at ticketleader.ca. ticketleader.ca.
I kind of wanted to ask you as well, what does the word sour mean to you? Yeah. I kind of sensed in your poetry that maybe, not that you were angry with the passing of time, but that, what did that do to you? What does sour mean to you?
Yeah, I feel like sour is a very interesting word because it's not necessarily something that you're regards if you're using sour in a term relating to an experience or something. It's not necessarily that you're fully enjoying it, but also not hating it as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of this in between because you kind of are going through these experiences by choice, but it kind of leaves this kind of bitter aftertaste I don't know. It's a weird thing because voluntarily you're going through all this change because you know that you have to, but it also doesn't mean that it makes you feel the best afterwards. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a bittersweet time.
Yes.
Hey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess I really want to dive into some of your poems, but before I do that, I wanted to ask you what really inspires you to write. When you're about to write a poem, mm-hmm. does it kind of just strike you, or do you sit yourself down and, is it a planned thing, or does it kind of just hit you out of nowhere?
I think it's a really big mix of the both. Sometimes I have this urge to write, and sometimes I know exactly what I'm going to write, and usually writing comes to me when I am feeling this really strong emotion, mm-hmm. and I just feel like I need to write it out and process it that way. Mm-hmm. But other times I feel the need to write, but I have no idea what I want to write, and I just kind of sit there and kind of see what happens.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
I guess now I want to dig into some of your poems. So the first one I want to read is Begging the Past. You can go ahead and read it.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, yeah, we have our books out here in front of us.
So this is Begging the Past. I beg the past to stay for far too long. I'm now just a constant visitor to his world and yearning to return. It's time to move on, he urges me. How can I reply, when my heart only belongs to you. Fine, take my heart and break it, but remember who longed for you, collapsing on my knees, hoping you'd see the pain in my eyes, ripped away by destiny, who so easily grabbed my hand and took me screaming and kicking, break the promises of remembering everything and give me away like the past on that cold winter's day.
Wow, yeah, this is one of my favorite poems from your book.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the part I like so much about it is kind of the playfulness that you have going on and how you... If, to my understanding, at least, you're referring to the past as a person, like you're personifying the past.
Yes,
I thought it was really cool how you used personification to describe the past. Like, yeah, that's a concept that is very new to me. And I really like the line, fine, take my heart and break it. Like that really struck me in a way, because it's almost as if you're bitter towards the past. Can you talk a little bit more about what that means?
Yeah, so at the time that I wrote this poem, I was in grade 12, and I was really just latching on to the nostalgia and the past. Mm-hmm. And that line, like, fine, take my heart and break it, I feel like there's this bitterness that I have towards the past, which is, like, this person that I personified in this poem. And kind of, being really bitter about it and angry and just being, like, I gave you so much of my time, and I have so much memories and good times with you, and you're just forcing me to move on.
Yeah.
And, like, what did I ever do to you?
Yeah.
For you to force me to, like, move on into the future.
Yeah. I think another thing I think a lot about when I read your poetry is, you know, when you say that you're missing the past, are you afraid of forgetting things, or are you afraid of being... Of missing that state that you were once in?
That's a really good question. I think it's kind of a mix of both. But I feel like just the past, like, I do realize that as I age, there are things that I forget, and then someone will, like, remind me of this time, and I just kind of have this moment, like, instead of being like, oh my gosh, I remember that time, oh, that was so fun, I kind of have this moment of, like, oh my gosh, like, my memory is not this set in stone thing that I can remember everything that happened in the past. Which is a scary thing. And I don't know.
And when you're writing, do you ever find that, like, these emotions that you had previously kind of bubble up in new ways that you weren't expecting, sort of?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like I've definitely, like, since I published this book last year, I feel like I've grown so much as a person, and partly was because I, like, publish this, and I think because my words were out for everybody to read, it was kind of this whole, like, release from inside of me that felt so good, and I felt like I could finally kind of grow from that very kind of paralyzing nostalgia that I had, which now I have nostalgia, and sometimes it does get the best of me, but I feel like I can move easily away from it.
So I guess now, like, would you say, because in this poem here, you say that you were kind of you were took away from the past, kicking and screaming. Do you still feel that way? Like, how do you think about that time now?
I mean, now I look back at it and I just have had so many experiences since then that I've just grown to love. And, you know, one of them is like meeting you. And,
oh my
like,
gosh.
I think at the time I thought change was such this like horrible thing that was taking so much away from me, including the past that I had kind of connected myself to. But now I just see how much like good change has and how much I've grown as a person because of that.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I mean, there are probably times when I feel like that and I get into the depths of my nostalgia and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like horrible. But I feel like I've grown so much to learn that.
To have grown up, you know, with now 3 years of university with you, I feel like we've seen each other grow and I've seen you grow into this beautiful person and author.
Oh, thank you. Same to you.
Yeah.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
So now I want to talk about our next poem that I've chosen from your book. For those who just tuned in, this is Georgia Wallace's book, Sour with Change. It's a collection of poems. This poem is Hiding in the Curtains, and maybe you can give us a read.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Hiding in the Curtains. Just as the sun shines through the window, blurred by lace curtains, I was tangled in childhood, hiding from growing up, never wanting to be found, despite my shadow giving me away. But I finally left the confines of my curtain, and it turned out 10 years were lost, further in the past. No longer the young girl back in the secrecy of my hiding spot. I was an adult, truly, completely grown up. Time only allotted seconds for me to readjust, but it was so sudden, with everything else growing old around me, that I tried to go back and tangle myself in the curtains. But the magic that was once there left when curiosity convinced me to leave the safety of what I once had.
I love this poem so much because I do relate to it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one thing that really struck me that you wrote about here was that magic that was once there. And, you know, I guess I'm assuming this is kind of that magic that you have when you're a younger child.
Yes, yeah.
What does that look like to you? How would you describe that magic?
I think that magic really just comes from the innocence of childhood. Just like looking back at who I was as like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, the peak like childhood ages. I don't know, things just are so less serious then. Like I feel like one of the main things is that like the worries and anxiety that I had back then was so temporary to the things that I worry about now.
Yeah.
And I think also something that I've realized after I've written this poem and like kind of now is that, I don't know, adulthood is really scary.
No, it is. It is.
And I feel like, I don't know, there's so many things that I realize like that I will have to do independently. And one day I won't have the security that I had with my childhood. Like my childhood is kind of like, it's kind of like there's like this kind of string that's been connecting me to my past. And soon it's kind of tight right now. And soon enough, it's going to kind of sever off. And I feel like I will lose a part of that myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I empathize with that feeling as well. I guess another aspect of that magic that I kind of read here was that maybe as a child you see things through these fresh eyes, through a lens that, you know, hasn't been maybe scarred by a couple years of university, a couple years of adulting.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that part of your poem. One question I had for you is, do you ever think that you are at some point going to reflect back on this period of your life and view it as being magical?
I think so. I think I'll always, like, it's such an interesting thing because I think no matter what age I am at, I will always be longing to be the age I was before. Or, like, I don't know, I feel like right now I'm longing to be the age that I was when I wrote this. Because, like, there are so many things that I missed out on that I was so, like, paralyzed by change.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, I mean, I think everybody's different, but for me personally, like, my personality is very like nostalgic and I feel like I really grapple into like melancholy and like all of that. So I think there is like a 99.9% chance that I will definitely be I don't know, maybe in like 5 years, be reflecting on this time and being like, oh my gosh, like that was such a special time in my life.
Yeah.
And yeah, that magicality that I think
yeah.
it will always be there. But I wonder if it takes kind of a couple years to finally realize that it was at that point in your life. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I guess when you read your book now, because it's been a year.
Yeah.
Do you kind of look at it through a different lens, or do you still resonate with your poetry now?
I think there are definitely some poems that I still very much resonate, like that resonate with me at the moment. But I also think that there are poems that I've written that the specific emotion or memory that I had kind of intertwined with it, I've been so distant from it that I can look back at it without really like being sucked back into those emotions,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is such a, I don't know, I think it shows so much growth. And then also, I think it's a good thing. I don't think always having a very strong emotion to a poem that you've written or something that you've written, I think that's okay. Like, mm-hmm. that shows so much about who you are now than you were back then.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I also, moving on from this poem.
Yeah.
I know that you write not only poetry, but you're also a writer. I know that you're in the process of writing a book.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh my gosh, I'd love to. So basically, I've always wanted to write a novel. I think it's something that has just been such a dream of mine since I was like really young, like 7, 8. And so the book that I'm writing is a young adult fantasy novel. And I had to get this idea for my creative writing class that I took in January of this year, and it turned out that I really just loved the idea, and then I was like, oh, I'm gonna continue writing this. But yeah, it's kind of about, it was inspired by like Peter Pan and Wendy and that kind of vibe, mm-hmm. and the whole like Neverland and kind of aspects of like my poetry book, like growing up and not wanting to grow up and realizing that once you reach a certain age, there's this kind of pain that you don't see.
No, it seems like you have that theme of clinging to this mm-hmm. childhood self
yeah.
throughout your work. One thing I'm wondering is that, do you go into your writing inspired by that theme, or do you find that every time you write, the theme kind of comes back to you?
Oh, that's a really good question. I feel like, again, it's just like a mix. Like sometimes I will, like, I feel like even like this weekend specifically, I've been very like nostalgic, and like I've been feeling this emotion really strongly. So I've been like writing stuff that is very in tune with that emotion. But other times I feel like I'll have an intention for a poem or like anything that I'm writing, and even if it's like a completely different topic, I will eventually kind of weave it into it. So I feel like mm-hmm. my writing is, I feel like every writer has a specific theme or emotion or something like that, that they really like gravitate towards, and I feel like that's mine.
And yeah, I feel like your work, I can really sense your personality through your writing.
Oh, thank you.
And so yeah, if for any listeners out there who want to purchase George's book, it's available on Amazon, Sour with Change. Please go get it, it's beautiful. As for your upcoming novel, like,
yes, yeah,
no pressure but will I be able to read it anytime soon?
Oh my gosh. With this book specifically, I feel like I want to try different things with it, which includes possibly trying to like query it and possibly get an agent and try traditionally publishing it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Again, like I have not done the first draft, and I thought I would be done it by the end of summer. So I still have that to do, and then tons of edits. So
yeah,
maybe a couple years down the line, but who knows? But yeah.
Well, I'll be there. I'll be staying tuned.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
We're kind of approaching the end of our time here, but I guess what do you want your audience to take away from your writing, whether it's you know, your future novel or it's your book, Sour with Change?
I feel like there's something really beautiful about being in tune with your past and learning to really love, like, just all, like, all of who you are at, like, any stage of life. And my poetry might be, you know, a little bit, like, on, like, the heavy side of, like, nostalgia, like, you know, screaming, kicking away from it. But I feel like there's, yeah, there's something beautiful about realizing who you are now is, like, just a collection of who you were in the past. And that's something really, I feel like, obvious. But I don't know. Yeah.
No, yeah, I feel like your writing very beautifully captures, yeah, like you said, how at every stage in your life, it's beautiful in its own way, almost like, you know, a butterfly going through metamorphosis, yes, right? Yeah. And reading this, I feel like I can reflect back on my time in high school or my time as a child and my time now and how each of those, you know, I was this, or I hope I was this beautiful person in many different ways. So I guess on a kind of final note here, the title of my show is Cool Kids. And to me, cool kids just means anyone who I find cool, anyone who stands out. And I guess what my question for you is, what makes you cool? What makes you stand out? And as a writer, as a person?
Well, thank you for calling me cool. That's amazing. That's great. Something that I feel like I'm really proud of myself that I feel makes me cool is that things like my writing or any of these projects that I take on my life, I'm not afraid to do so. And I think I'm not afraid to be myself. And I think, like, a lot of people approach me and are like, that's so awesome that, like, you're doing all of these things and pursuing so much, like, so early on. And to that, I feel like it's cool to be yourself. It's cool to, you know, who cares if you think some person won't like your writing or will think you're, you know, not cool for doing it. Like, you're cool for that.
It's cool to be you. It's cool to be you.
Yeah, new motto.
No, I love that. So thanks so much for being on my show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Georgia Wallace, author of Sour with Change and author of another soon-to-be novel. Do you have a title for it yet?
I do not know. So, you know, up in the air.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it. So where can people find your work?
So if you would like to, you know, find my work, find my poetry book, it's on Amazon. And then I also have an Instagram account where I post, like, any poem that I've been working on or scenes from my book, if you're interested in that. And the username for that is Georgia Wallace Writes.
So, okay, yeah. Awesome. So yeah, I really encourage everyone to go get Sour with Change on Amazon and to read Georgia's work because she is so talented. You are listening to Cool Kids, the show where I, Elise Roy, your host, interview all the cool kids out there, authors, experts, anyone with a beautiful passion. And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next time.
Hello, this is Tony Bardock of the Little Guitar Arming, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I was doing the dishes, I was waking up real slow. I was taking my time just thinking about last night's show. Whoa, and you came up behind me solidly smooth. I know there's dirty dishes, but I have some dirty wishes. I know there's dirty dishes, but I have some dirty wishes. I don't wanna do the dishes, but I wanna do you. I don't wanna do the dishes, but I wanna do you. We were arguing about who would do the dishes. It's a regular Monday night. Neither of us have the time, but we're too tired to fight. Smooth. I know there's dirty dishes, but I have some dirty wishes. I know there's dirty dishes, but I have some dirty wishes. I don't wanna do the dishes, but I wanna do you. dishes are dirty, and so are you. I wonder which I wanna do. The dishes are dirty, and so are you. I wonder which I wanna do. You were washing, I was drying, we were dancing by the sink. When you turned to me, put down the plate, said, how about it, what you think? Whoa, and you came up behind me, smiling really smooth. I know there's dirty dishes, but I have some dirty wishes. I know there's dirty dishes, but I have some dirty wishes. I don't want to do the dishes, but I want to do. But I wanna do you. I don't wanna do the dishes, but I wanna do you. I don't wanna do the dishes, but I wanna do.
Call of otherwise.